The play we are going to read from is Kleist's Amphitryon, which he adapted from Molière's. The story I'm sure you know. Jupiter, assuming the shape of the Theban general Amphitryon, accompanied by Mercury in the shape of Sosia, Amphitryon's servant, has come down to Earth and spent the night with Alcmene, Amphitryon's wife. The part we read, Act 2, Scene 2, concerns the real Amphitryon's homecoming immediately after, and immediately after he has won a great victory over the Athenians. As one of his spoils of victory, Amphitryon has brought home for Alcmena a diadem in a gold box entrusted to his servant Sosia. Charis, briefly mentioned, is Alcmene's servant. God grant my darling wife won't start back in dismay to see me here. I have no fear that after the brief time of our separation, she'll receive me any less adoringly than I return to her.
Come back so soon?
Well, that exclamation really makes me think it's most unlikely that the gods have heard my prayer. Come back so soon are not the accents ardent love employs. What a fool I've been. Deluded, I believe the war had separated me from you too long. The way it seemed to me, I come back home to you too late. But now you teach me how much I have erred. Astonished, I perceive I've fallen on you from the blue, a presence inconvenient and intrusive.
I cannot.
Alcmene, no, I'm sorry. But your exclamation poured cold water on my flames of love. And all the time that I've been away, you never condescended even once to vouchsafe the dial a passing glance. The wings of time beat here unperceived, and 5 months by the calendar flew by for you amid this castle's loud uproarious pleasures like so many minutes.
I find it hard, dear friend, to understand why you should think you have some reason for reproaching me. If it's coldness that you blame me for, then I am mystified what I must do to satisfy you. Yesterday, when you appeared to me at nightfall, I paid off, out of my warm bosom and in full, the debt that I am being dunned for now, or so I thought. But if you're able still to wish for more, require more, you force me to confess my bankruptcy. All I had to give, I gave you, truly.
What? What's that?
That you should ask me what? Last night, when I was spinning in my room, entirely lost in my own thoughts, and you slipped in and stole a kiss on the neck from me, I flew into your arms and hugged you, didn't I? Can one delight more in a lover than I did?
What is it you are saying?
The questions that you ask, and you on your side, felt a joy beyond all bounds to find yourself so passionately loved. And as I laughed and wept by turns, you swore to me in a voice unusually solemn that Jupiter himself had never had such joy of Hera.
You are mortal gods.
But with the day's first glow, no pleading on my part can keep you longer by my side. Off you have to go before the rising of the sun. You go. I fling myself on the couch, toss sleeplessly because the morning is too warm, am moved to make an offering to the gods, and in the forecourt I encounter you. If I was taken by surprise, was flabbergasted even, if you will. I think I am the one I do who's owed an explanation here. But in any case, there is no reason for berating me so angrily.
Was my homecoming heralded to you, Alcmene, in a dream? Is that it? In your sleep, perhaps, you welcomed me home, and so you think your debt of love's already satisfied?
Has an evil spirit robbed you of all recollection? Is that it, Amphitryon? Or has a god, perhaps, been able to undermine the happy disposition of your mind so that you wish insultingly to strip your wife's chaste love of all its purity?
You dare to stand there telling me I slipped into your room at nightfall yesterday, that playfully on your neck I pressed the devil, oh?
You dare to stand there and deny you slipped in here at nightfall yesterday, took every liberty with me a husband is permitted?
No, you're joking. Let's be serious. A joke like that is really out of place.
You are joking. Yes, speak seriously. I find the joke a coarse and painful one.
Took every liberty with you, you say a husband is permitted? Am I quoting you correctly?
What a low mind you have. Go.
Good God, the blow this is to me. Oh, Sosia, my friend. Sosia, 5 grains of hellebore is what she needs. She's not quite right upstairs. Alcmena, you're not thinking what the consequences of such talk can be. Collect your wits. Consider what you say. From now on, I'll believe your every word.
Whatever consequences it may have, Amphitryon, I pray you to believe me always. Never for an instant think I'm capable of such gross jokes. How calm I am about the outcome, you can see. If you are able, without flinching, to look me in the eye and say you didn't visit me here in the palace yesterday and the gods don't strike you dead, why, I don't care a straw for any shabby reasons you think you have. You'll never shake the calm assurance I have here inside me, nor, as is my trust, the good opinion of the world. But that my love should wish to wound me cruelly, that cut only makes my bosom bleed.
You wretched girl, what kind of speech is that? And I suppose that you have got the proof to show for what you say?
The proof, my God! Every servant in this castle is my witness. Why, the pavement that you walked on, all the trees, the dogs that crowded around your knees, tails wagging, would swear to it that you were here, if they were able.
All the servants? That's impossible.
Incomprehensible you are. Proof positive, is that what you would like to have? Then look, from whom did I receive this girdle here?
A girdle? You? From me? Already wearing it?
The diadem you told me of, Labdacus, struck down by you in your last battle.
Amphitryon to Sosia. Traitor, you, now what am I to think? Sosia, please, one moment. These are feeble efforts to deceive. I have the diadem in my possession. Amphitryon, where? Sosia, right here. Takes a casket out of his pocket. Amphitryon, the seal is still unbroken. Looks hard at the band around Alcmena's breast. And yet I'd swear, unless my senses all deceive me. To Sosia, open it at once. Sosia, good God, there's nothing here. The devil's gone and flown away with it. There is no diadem of King Labdacus to be seen. Amphitryon, oh, you almighty gods who rule this netherworld, what fate have you in store for me? In store for you? They've doubled you, that's what. Amphitryon's been here, the one who swings a stick, and my opinion is you are a lucky man. Amphitryon, keep quiet, fool.
Alcmene to Charis. Whatever it is that's affected him so violently, why such dismay, such consternation at the sight of something not unknown to him, this ornament?
How many tales of wonder I have listened to about unnatural phenomena, appearances in this world from another. But now it's me, my honor, that a thread spun from the skies has wound itself around and threatens to choke to death.
Strange friend of mine, confronted with this evidence, will you continue to deny that last night you appeared to me and that I already have redeemed my obligation to you as a wife?
I won't, but you must tell me the whole story, all of it.
Amphitryon.
It's not because I doubt you, understand. The diadem is not to be gainsaid. It's just that I have certain reasons, don't you know, for wanting you to tell me in detail what happened on my visit.
You're not ill, my friend, are you?
No, I'm not ill.
Perhaps one of your urgent cares as general in chief weighs upon your mind, engrossing all its cheerful vigor.
Yes, I do feel rather dull now.
Come inside and rest a while.
No, later on will do. As I just said, I'd like to hear before I go indoors your account of my homecoming yesterday.
It's quickly told. The dark had come. I sat inside my closet at the wheel. The humming of the spindle lulled me off into the field among armed warriors when I heard a loud exulting shout from the direction of the further gate.
Who was shouting?
Our people.
And?
And promptly I forgot it, for even in my dreams it never crossed my mind what pure joy the gods and all their graciousness had destined for me. But just as I took up my thread again, a tremor ran through all my limbs.
I know.
That part you know.
And then?
And then there was, my goodness, So much talk, so much merriment, and how the questions which we had for one another flew back and forth. We both sat down. You told me in your soldier's style the story of Pharisa's fall and how Labdacus had gone down into the eternal night and every gory detail of the battle. And then I received a gift, the gorgeous diadem paid for with a kiss. We studied it a long time in the candlelight, and when I put it round me like a girdle, your hand fastened it beneath my breast.
Is a dagger's cut, I wonder, any sharper?
Supper soon was served us, but neither you nor I showed any interest in the ortolan on the serving plate, and very little in the wine. Very drolly, you said, you lived upon the nectar of my love. You said you were a god. All sorts of things. My heavens, what your fancy wantoning put into your mouth.
My fancy wantoning put into my mouth?
Yes, into your mouth. Well, after that, you look so grim. What is it?
After that?
We stood up from the table then.
Yes, then.
Having stood up from the table.
Having stood up from the table.
We went.
You went.
We went, but good Lord, how red your face is. Why?
It strikes me right to the heart, this dagger does. No, no, betrayer. It was never me. It was a scoundrel. The greatest villain ever. That Amphitryon who slipped in here at nightfall yesterday.
Nasty fellow.
Faithless woman. Thankless girl. Restraint, farewell. And that which only injured me in what regards my honor. Love, farewell to you. Farewell to memories and hope and happiness and welcome bitter hatred and revenge.
Farewell to you as well, ignoble-minded man. I snatch my heart back, bleeding, out of your breast. The deception you are practicing on me is detestable, revolting. If all your longing now looks elsewhere to another, if love has smitten you resistlessly by honestly avowing it to me, the goal of your desire would have been attained as fast as by your coward's trick. My mind is quite made up. I do assure you, to cut the tie which now oppresses your inconstant soul. Never fear, before this day is over, you will know you're free of all connection that exists between us.
Seeing what a shameful injury has been done me, that's the least my wounded honor may demand. It's clear there is a plot afoot against me, even though I still can't trace out all the strands that go to make the insidious web. But I will call in witnesses to tear it into shreds. I'll call your brother in, the generals, the whole Theban army I'll call in, from the midst of whom I never ventured, even for a second, till dawn's first light today. Then we'll see to the bottom of this mystery, and woe to him by whom I've been deceived.